Okay, the recording is back on. That's weird. So I'm going to have two MP3 recordings for this talk show tonight. Anyway. All right, I'll just move on and take the next question. Let's see what we got. All right, Iron J says, what are your opinions of the hypertrophy-specific training, HST, for someone relatively new to bodybuilding? Okay, the HST style of training is basically doing total body workouts. So instead of doing a big workout split where you do chest one day, back the next, legs the next, whatever, you do a little bit for every body part. So you do a little total body workout 3 days a week. And I actually think that that's a fantastic way to structure your training for someone who's relatively new to working out. I very often, when I'm setting up programs for people or whatever, if a brand new person comes to me, I will very often set up a total body workout routine. Even in my own training, I'll sometimes incorporate total body workouts. Now, with a total body workout, obviously you can't go into all the details that you can with a body part split. Like, you won't be able to do as many exercises per body part and whatnot. But it's still fantastic because you're getting the frequency in there. You're working the major muscle groups. You're doing, you know, mostly compound exercises. So there's a lot of benefit to it. There's a lot of metabolic benefit. Like, you're burning up a lot of calories with this type of training because you're working such big, so many muscle groups, and you're doing mostly compound exercises. A prime example, like the 20 rep squat program that I often recommend on my website, that is a total body workout because you're doing the squats, the 20 rep squats. I mean, that's hits all your lower body right there as well as your core, and then you're doing a circuit of dips, chins, and sit-ups to really hit all your upper body muscles. So, I mean, that is a total body workout right there, and that would be done 3 days a week. So even though it's not the HST program, it follows the same theory as this program does. So, again, doing total body workouts like that is a fantastic way to structure your training. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend it for a beginner, you know, something like that. Again, obviously, with any workout when you're starting off, you mean you just work at your own pace and things like that. But it's a good, sound structure to go by, the total body workouts 3 days a week. All right, what else we got here? Let's see. Leshka82 says, hey, Lee, I'm glad I made it to the show today. Oh, I'm glad you made it, too. Good to have you here. You know, I'm saying you got a question regarding body fat. I'm currently at 18% body fat. Doctor told me that if I lose 10% body fat and come down to around 8%, my skin will be very loose and flabby and won't look appealing. Is there some truth to that? Okay. Yes, when you lose body fat, you may have a little bit of loose skin. Usually it's for people who are really obese and heavy to begin with. Now, 18%, that's not, if that's a true 18%, that's not really that crazy of body fat. I believe the average body fat, what we consider average, just a second, I actually got it here on my body fat chart here. Let me just see what, according to the AccuMeasure body fat tester, they consider average for men, let's just say a man who's 30 years old. They actually consider 18% on the low end of the average scale, okay? And they say the ideal would be in the low teens, say like between 10 to 15 would be ideal, and then less than 10 would be lean. So your average with your body fat right now at 18%. So that's not really crazy. I mean, you know, yeah, if you lose some body fat, you may find that your skin might feel a little slack or whatever, but the cool thing is your skin does have, you know, elasticity to it. So if you keep that weight off, your skin will tighten up. Now, for some people who, again, who are really overweight, they may have stretched their skin past the point of no return, and that's sometimes where you see people, well, they have to get a tummy tuck or something like that in order to remove some of that loose skin. But I honestly don't think that you would be at that level at just 18% body fat. If you stick to, you know, clean diet, cardio, and all that stuff, all the things that, you know, I teach, and if you're actually looking for a killer program to help you with your fat loss, I'd actually recommend my bodybuilding competition guide, because bodybuilders are the world's most successful dieters compared to everybody else. They are the ones who will lose the most body fat and get the most progress. So again, if you're looking for a kick-ass program, I would highly recommend my first bodybuilding competition training guide to you. That's something that you could follow. But if you stick to a good program like that and keep the weight off, your skin will tighten up on its own, and I don't think it will be this loose, flabby skin or whatnot. You know, if that's something that would only really be an issue for someone who is really overweight, and from the sounds of it, you're not at that level. But again, you'll have to go for it. I mean, you know, don't use that as an excuse to not lose body fat, thinking, well, gee, I'm going to stay fat because I'm afraid my skin will be a little loose. Hell no. I mean, you'll look a lot better being leaner with a little bit of loose skin than you will being fatter and lots of full pudgy skin or whatever. So yeah, trim down, and then when you're already lean, then you can kind of, you know, play it from here and see if you do need to do anything to tighten up that skin, whatnot, be it a tummy tuck or whatever. I actually know some people who have had tummy tucks and stuff like that, and it's not something that we would like to go through, but it's not as bad as a lot of people make it out to be. And I think the end result, they're a lot happier after having lost the weight and everything else than they were before. So I wouldn't use the fear of slack skin as an excuse to not lose the excess body weight. You know, just the health reasons alone is reason enough to trim down and get leaner. Anyway, what else we got? Haley, good evening. Just wondering, when working out my back muscles, which workout should I do first? Upper back workout or deadlift? Thanks. And again, okay, the same question posted in twice. Okay, cool. Again, when it comes to workouts like that, there's pros and cons to both. Me personally, I would do the big, basic meat and potatoes exercise relatively early on and get that out of the way. That's the way I would do it. I find if I'm saving deadlifts for at the end of my workout, I sometimes dread them because it's such a big, hard exercise. Like when I'm doing legs, for example, if squats are my primary exercise, I like to get those out of the way first. Same with deadlifts. If that's my primary exercise, I like to get it out of the way first. I just find that that's what works best for me. You know, when I can get that big, huge exercise out of the way, then it's like coasting downhill from there. So something you might want to consider. But at the same time, I know other people who would like to save their big exercise for at the end because they feel that they've pre-exhausted their back or whatnot with the other exercises, and then doing the big power move at the end, they find that they can get more benefit from it. So six of one, half a dozen of the other, there's really no right or wrong way to go about it. But my personal opinion would be to do the big power exercise first, and then do the other smaller isolation moves afterwards. All right, so hopefully that covers your question there with that one. All right, let's see what else. Okay, Massic Rock says, good evening, Lee. A few questions for you, one specific and one general. The general question. A bodybuilder with 15 years of experience told me that I don't need to go through typical bulk-up cutting phases. All I need to do is be consistent with workouts, eat right, do moderate cardio, and with time, 1 to 2 years, my physique will be transformed from average to muscular and athletic, and I will gain weight naturally because the muscles weigh more than fat. Okay, that's the general question, and the specific one is, at some point in your 12-week program, you're asking us to perform a hack squat. I've never done hack squats before, so I did some research and found two different ways of performing this exercise. Okay, oh, still typing in as we read. This is a live question, folks. One similar to the standard deadlift, but grabbing the bar from behind. The other is using what seems to be a type of leg press machine at the gym. The one that I'm referring to in the workout program is the one that is the actual leg machine at the gym. It's kind of like a inverted leg press. Rather than your upper body down and your feet pressing up, you're the other way. Your upper body's up and your feet are squatting. So that's the one that I'm referring to when I say hack squats. The other one, yeah, like the deadlift, which is basically, that's what it is. It's like a deadlift behind your legs. That is, I guess, the true hack squat that was invented by, I believe his name is George Hackenschmidt, back 100 years ago in the early days of the Iron Game. He invented the hack squat, which was named after him, Hackenschmidt. But the one that I'm actually referring to in the 12-week program is the hack squat machine at your gym. So that's the one that you would use for that. As for your general question, which is a big old theory debate, there's no right or wrong with this one. You're saying, do you need to go through bulking up and dieting down, or can you just kind of keep going, you know, in the middle of the road and build muscle, burn body fat over the long haul? And I think it depends on the individual and what your main goal is and what your body type is and all that stuff. For a skinny hard gainer, someone who is underweight right now, I would recommend bulking up, purposely putting some meat on your bones. I think that is the fastest way to get big. Yes, you're going to bulk up, so I mean, not all the body weight is going to be pure, lean, solid, muscular, ripped body weight. But at the same time, this is the fastest way and what I would recommend for a hard gainer. Someone who's a little on the chunky side, you know, the endomorph body type, I would probably recommend that they do what you just mentioned. You know, don't focus on bulking up and dieting down. Probably even focus a little bit on fat loss and kind of have some lean muscle gains while you're trimming off the excess body fat. Then in the middle of the road there, you got the mesomorphs. Again, sometimes bulking up is, again, the fastest way to go about it. So, you know, it all depends on the individual. I don't like to just you're saying it's a general question, and I don't like to give a general answer. Again, something like that really depends on what your goal is and everything else and your body type. If your goal was to become as big and strong and powerful as you can be and probably like to compete in powerlifting and bodybuilding and things like that, I think there is a purpose for bulking up and building that size and then going through a dieting phase to lose off the body fat. I mean, that's the way most bodybuilders do it. They have their off-season training and they have their pre-contest training. They don't try to do both at the same time. So if that's your goal, then, you know, bodybuilding, then that's what I would recommend. If your goal is just, you know, you're just working out to keep yourself in shape and for the, you know, the general health reasons and things like that, then, yeah, you can just eat clean and train regularly and do your cardio and hope to build muscle, burn fat at the same time and take it, you know, I guess the long, slow route that way. So, again, it all depends on you. I mean, there's really no way that I can say that one is right and one is wrong. So hopefully that covers your question there, but that's my take on it. You know, like I say, it depends on what your goal is and, excuse me, you know, what your long-term goal is. If it is to build muscle mass and become a bodybuilder, then I think bulking and dieting. But for general fitness, you can just play it by ear and just roll it out. All right, what else we got? I actually got to delete some of these private messages because I got too many open here, and I don't think I can. One second now. Once you get so many private messages open, it blocks you from actually opening more. Just bear with me now. I'm deleting a lot of these questions. All right, let's see. And I'm probably going to just swing back to our audience chat window, just make sure everything's going good. All right, cool. All right, I got some more questions coming through. Let's see what we got here. This is back to our original question where we had William was asking how he can bench 1,000 pounds. He says, you got a serious question now. If I take time to stretch sore muscles, would that help me? Like, would it if I did cardio, but when I do cardio, it overtrains me and I get weaker? If I take time to stretch my sore muscles, will that help me like it would if I did cardio? But when I do cardio, it overtrains me and I get weaker. Stretching is important regardless of what you're training for, whether it be muscle building, fat loss, or whatever. A simple way to stretch that I'm a big fan of is simply stretching the muscles that you worked after your workouts. So if you did a chest workout, then before you leave the gym, after you finish your weight training, do some stretching for your chest. If you did a leg workout, before you leave the gym, do some stretching for your legs. It just takes, 5 minutes, thereabouts, but it makes a huge difference. Actually, I've got a full article on my article page if you want to go check that out about stretching. If you went just leehayward.com/ARTD.htm and did a search, you would find it. I'm going to see if I can find it there and type it in for you. But stretching has such huge benefits, and I go into a lot of detail in this article, so I'm not really going to waste all our time here on the show going through that because you can read about it. But it's one thing that a lot of people neglect. I mean, very few people stretch. Sometimes you see some women doing it, but very, very rarely you see guys stretching in the gym. And I think it's a huge mistake. All right. Actually, the article title is Stretch Your Way to a More Muscular Body with This Simple Stretching Exercise Routine. And I'm going to type that into our chat window so you can go check that out and read it on your own. So there you go. William, I typed it in your private message, and I'll also type it in our main audience chat window. It's the stretch article. All right. Okay, so what else you got there? You're saying that when you do cardio that it overtrains you and you find that you get weaker. I would say right now if you find that cardio overtrains you and it makes you weaker, that you probably have a low work capacity. And in fact, right now, probably doing the cardio, biting the bullet, going through the motions and actually doing the cardio will probably be the best thing that you can do at this stage. Because you don't want to just worry about your initial training, like if I do cardio today, it's going to affect my weight training workout tomorrow. Don't think of it in such short term, but think of it in the long term, the big picture here. If you can't do cardio because it overtrained you, then obviously your whole work capacity is very low. You need to get what they call your GPP, your general physical preparedness. You need to build up your capacity to handle work. So I would say start off doing, 3 easy cardio sessions a week. Heck, if it's even going for a 20-minute walk, something so simple as that, that would be totally cool. And then gradually increase the intensity and whatnot of these cardio workouts so that you're doing, say, 3 good cardio workouts where you're working up a sweat and everything else and getting a good heart rate going and breathing heavy. I would say at minimum 3 good cardio workouts a week just for the endurance benefits, the health benefits, and to build up your work capacity. If you do this and actually stick with it for the next, couple months, it will be, it will enhance everything. It will help your workouts. It will help you speed up your recovery from your weight training. You'll actually feel better and probably be able to go through your workouts with more intensity because you're not going to be, gasping for air so much and things like that. So you think of, all the big exercises such as, squats and deadlifts and leg presses and all this. I mean, that puts a serious drain on your cardiovascular system. So by having your work capacity built up, that just makes you so much more efficient. And I can relate if you're a bit dreading the cardio or whatnot. I've went through phases myself where I no cardio whatsoever, and my conditioning sucked. I mean, I would literally get winded walking upstairs. That's how bad it was. So I think if you just bite the bullet and actually do some consistent cardio in the long run, you'll be in a lot better shape, and it will really benefit your entire training program, from your weight training, your conditioning, you know, help you with your muscle growth and everything else. So I wouldn't recommend that you say no to cardio. It's something that's it's an important part of the whole process. So stretching, cardio, and weight training, you know, they're all equally important. All right. Clear my throat there. Okay. All right, we are at the end of our hour, but I know there's a couple of little questions right there, and I'm just going to, well, so Bud's asking, he's saying, am I going to the Arnold Classic this year? I haven't really planned it out yet. I went to the Mr. Olympia September was. So I did check out the Olympia. I didn't go to the Arnold Classic this past spring. I don't know. I might do it. I might take it in. I've been to the Arnold Classic before, and I really enjoyed it. I think if anybody is a true bodybuilding fan, you need to check out the Arnold Classic. It is the biggest bodybuilding fitness event. It's not the most prestigious, but it's the biggest in terms of the expo and everything else. So something that it's a lot of fun, and I probably will check it out. But again, I don't have my tickets booked, put it that way. But, yeah, something I'll probably definitely check out again. I do enjoy going to these events like the Arnold and Mr. Olympia and stuff like that. What else we got here? I'm just checking out some more questions that are coming through. Someone's saying, I took my body fat the other day and it was 4.9%. Is this unhealthy? I'm 5'10", 160. I've been working out for 3 years, and I used to weigh 130. First of all, no, I will not say that's unhealthy, but I can just tell by what you said. You're 5'10", and right now you're 160 pounds after working out for 3 years, but you used to weigh 130. You have an ectomorph body type. So, I mean, you have a racing fast metabolism, and your natural tendency is that the long, lean physique. So, it's not unhealthy. I mean, that's where you are naturally. I mean, you're still building up and keeping your body fat really low. So that's a plus for you right there. That's actually a little benefit in disguise. Even though you're probably wishing that you could gain size faster, there's other people out there wishing that they could get as lean as you. So I guess there's pros and cons to it all. But no, I wouldn't worry about having a low body fat percentage. I mean, that's actually, you know, again, a plus for you. And the fact that you're still able to build up mass, even though it seems like a slow process, building size while keeping lean, you know, hey, keep doing what you're doing because it is working for you. But again, I wouldn't worry about having a low body fat, especially if you're in the mass building phase. That's actually a real cool bonus to be able to do that. Okay, quickly skim through some more questions, see what we got here before I clue it up for the night. Okay. All right, one more question, and then I'm going to clue it up. It says, Dan Lee says, hey, Lee, do you have any tips to instantly increase the bench press? And yes, I do, actually. The best way, or I should say the fastest way to increase your bench press instantly is to improve your bench press technique. That's one thing that you can do right now that will increase your bench press. And I actually go into this in a lot of detail right on my website, blastyourbench.com. If you go there, right on the main page, blastyourbench.com, I have you can sign up with your name and your email address, and you can get a free 5-part bench press training tips e-report. And this, I go into a lot of actual technical techniques, the technical setup of the bench press and all that stuff. I also cover some training tips on how to work these stabilizing and supporting muscle groups to assist your bench press. But again, if you go to that website, right on the main page, I actually cover how to actually arch your shoulder blades, retract your shoulders, expand your chest, and arch your upper back to maximize your bench press leverage. So again, it's kind of hard for me to explain here, but I actually have pictures and a full description right there on the Blaster Bench website. So again, just go to blasterbench.com, sign up for the free bench press training tips e-report, and then on the main page itself, about halfway down the page, you'll see a whole section there on how you can instantly increase your bench press by simply improving your bench press technique. So again, if you implement that, you will feel stronger instantly. Now, I'm going to do, there's a little disclaimer there about the instantly thing, because you have to be able to implement that technique. I mean, anytime you try a new training technique, you may feel a bit unstable at first, or it might not feel comfortable. But once you get it, once you get that groove of a new technique, you know, a new lifting form and that, then boom, you will notice the results instantly. But it might take you a couple workouts to feel comfortable benching with your shoulder blades retracted and your upper chest arched out and things like that. I mean, if that's not the way you naturally bench, then it may take a little bit of a learning curve. But once you get that technique down pat, then you'll see the results right away. Okay, there we go, folks. We are at the end of our hour for Thursday, November 19th. So I'm going to clue it up. Had some great questions. Really enjoyed this show. Like I say, it was a bit of a smaller crew because I didn't really blast it out there to like Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. I just kind of kept it on the low. So we have a smaller crew, and I got to answer more of your questions. I'm going to have the replay of this show posted up within the next 24 hours. And next week, we're going to be on again next Thursday night. And I think I might have a special guest coach next Thursday night. It's not set in stone right yet, but again, I'm just going to keep you on the edge right now. I'm just going to leave you with that. I might have a special guest coach joining me live right here in my office next week. So again, that's something that you might want to stay tuned for to check out. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to tune out over and out for tonight, and I look forward to chatting to you next week. Take care and have a good one.